Good evening and welcome to Shattered Lives, a lively, educational, and issues-driven radio show designed to tell another side of the story, to focus on and humanize crime victims, to enlighten and shine the spotlight on organizations and service providers, and to assist those who walk the path with us. This is Donna R. Gore, a.k.a. Lady Justice, your host, with my co-host, Delilah Jones, president of ImaginePublicity.com, welcoming you this Saturday evening and every Saturday to enlighten you, to educate you, to inform you, and to hopefully to entertain you on the issues primarily regarding the aftermath of crime. And boy, is there a wealth of material there. And we have been going for almost 3 consecutive years here. And I have to say I'm very proud of our track record. And I'm very proud of the quality of our guests that we have had and the plethora of topics. It's almost like a wonderful tapestry. And very seldom do we have repeat guests, although we have had a few. And I'm very proud to say that we have Cheryl Mack McCollum on this evening. And she was so highly regarded and last October, and her show was so popular. And she is known by so many people across the country for her expertise that we just had to have her on because she has some very exciting news to share with us this evening. But before I bring on Cheryl, I'd like to say good evening, Ms. Delilah, and Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Thank you. Doing good. Ready to get back in the groove after all the holiday stuff and everything else that's been going on. I think everybody feels the same way. It's good to be back.
I think so too. Well, you know, last Saturday I was flying the friendly skies back here to Connecticut, so I couldn't very well do the radio show from the airplane, although we haven't tried that. but I just wanted to mention very briefly too, it's because of all of the goings on of the holidays. If you fail to listen to the show with S. Daniel Carter on campus safety, that is a very good show to listen to too. So I would refer you to that post and that show because it's very vital. It's a very vital issue. So please do go back and listen to that. So Delilah, for the matter at hand, we have one of our favorite people here this evening, and I'm a little bit off center here because I'm not as prepared as usual, but we have some very interesting information for Cheryl Mack McCollum to impart. And so I guess I can just lead with saying that most people who are listening, although we hope we have new listeners, Cheryl is the founder of the Cold Case Investigative Research Unit, Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. And this is an institute formulated with service providers, people from the community, experts in many different fields of criminal justice, and they pair with and researchers, and they pair with students from a plethora of colleges and universities across the country to use their expertise and their out-of-the-box thinking to help solve cold cases. And it is totally a volunteer effort. And they don't even get college credit, but, oh, do they get schooled. Is that correct, Matt? Welcome.
No, that's a perfect description, and I love that tagline. I may steal that. Yeah,
what's
they don't
that?
Give you credit. They don't get credit, but they do get schooled. There's no question.
You know,
you if
can,
I had had something.
You can steal it.
Oh, appreciate it. But, I mean, if I had had this type of opportunity during my undergraduate years, it would have just been a remarkable blessing to me.
I'm sure. And, you know, I think, you know, so many opportunities that come along when we least expect it. And it's not necessarily in our young 20s because we never know what we want to do for the rest of our lives anyway. So,
sure.
You know, we just reformulate and reinvent ourselves and look at the wonderful things that you are accomplishing. I mean, it's a very tough life, but it's a very exciting life, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, I can't imagine me doing anything else. You know, it keeps me just motivated every day, and it's so exciting for me just to work on a cold case. But then, you know, when you add some of the people into our life that we get to work with every day, it's just, it's remarkable. You know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, you get up and people say, well, don't you get burnt out? How in the world could you burn out? Absolutely not. You know.
No, when it kind of gets your adrenaline going, and if you're constantly working with new people and the expertise that you're able to pull together and to come and I think it's remarkable, just like Susan Murphy Milano used to do, just by her reputation and her knowledge,
sure,
you're able to bring a lot of people to the fore, and they trust your instincts and you know who's appropriate for each case.
Sure.
So,
well, I have to say, Susan Murphy Milano had such a gift for that
yep.
she and I would joke that if, you know, she had been a pimp, she would be rich. Because she just had a way of knowing person needs this and this person needs that. But, you know, Holly and I got to work with Susan more than once, just even in a room trying to hash out what we think ought to happen on a case or what should be done on a certain case. And she was so phenomenal, and it was just such a gift to work with her.
Right. It certainly was. And, you know, you were like the three musketeers there when you were doing the TV pilots. I was watching
yeah.
It was enjoyable.
So cool. Yeah.
It really was. But, you know, to kind of get back to you, and I know you're going to be very modest about your accomplishments, with respect to how this evolved, how did you, in the beginning, when this was kind of just percolating up as an idea,
mm-hmm.
your institute, how were you able to gather these forces? And, you know, you're going to say, oh, I'm just little old me, Cheryl McCullum, but yes, but you have a national presence with, you know, Miss Crime Victim Advocacy herself, Nancy Grace. And
sure.
Well, how do you do that? How do you go from A to B to Z?
Well, 10 years ago, I was running a cold case squad for a small sheriff's department in South Georgia, and I just asked the sheriff, hey, can I take some of these cases to my class, because I was teaching a night class at the
right.
college, and just see what they could do with it. And the very first night, the very second that I pulled out the murder book, they lost their minds, and they would not stop. I mean, it was really almost embarrassing. They wouldn't go to other classes. I had teachers emailing me saying, you know, would you please tell so-and-so they've got to come to Algebra 2 or whatever it was. I mean, it was crazy. And so I thought, you know what, we're on to something. And then I had some, you know, real good friends and colleagues, one at Faulkner University and one at Auburn Montgomery. And I said, hey, you know, with y'all's added expertise, I've got a case I would like to bring you and your students in on. And from there, the three colleges just worked diligently on several cases. And then
mm-hmm.
I had other friends and colleagues saying, hey, you know, I'm chief of police here, but I'm also teaching at this college. We're in. And then before I knew it, we had about 6 or 7 colleges, and then we had 15, and then we had 20. And 2015 will be kind of a remarkable year in that regard, because we could pick up significantly in 2015. South University and Argosy, I've talked
mm-hmm.
about expanding the institute to almost 50 colleges. So you're
wow.
talking about we could put 2,000 people on a case, just a fresh set of eyes and about 600 to 700 experts at any given time.
Mm-hmm. That's just an amazing amount of growth. But how do you do proportionally? I mean, if you're going to grow, do you take on that many more volunteer staff? Is it hard to recruit people in terms of volunteerism for this, or do they just get so excited they find the time to do it? How does that happen?
Yes, and it's kind of interesting, because I've got, of course, some students and experts that can volunteer, you know, 20 hours a week if they want to. And then, of course, I have others that literally, it might be 10 minutes, but what's important is what they do in that 10 minutes. And I'll tell you a story. I had a student, she had twin baby girls, and they were, you know, fairly new on the planet, and she was extremely busy, as you can imagine. And then she went back to work as a 911 operator, so she had no free time. But she said, look, just email me the case file, and when, you know, I'm up at 3 doing a feeding, I'll try to read. So she did, and she was literally on the roof of the police department taking a break one afternoon, and one of the old detectives came by, and she said, hey, let me run something past you. And she just kind of was talking to him about what she read that night, and the detective said, you know what, I remember a case that's very similar to that. And lo and behold, now she's making connections with other cases that we didn't even know anything about. So when we're able to pass it off to the DA's office, we had at least three cases connected to the same perpetrator they were unaware of.
Wow.
And so her 10 minutes, I'll take it all day long.
That's just incredible
that's
and amazing.
Yeah.
Talk about harnessing, you know, someone's expertise or their willingness. So all of you out there who are listening, I don't want to hear any excuses about I don't have time to do anything, and I'm guilty of that too. I say that, and it's probably because I don't want to, so that could be part of it. Who knows?
Yeah.
I say that too a lot. But it's not about not having time. It's about having the motivation to do it as well. So that 10
sure.
minutes was that golden 10 minutes, wasn't it?
It was. And, you know, that's another reason people, you know, like Henry Lee and other folks have asked me, do you make the students have a certain GPA or a certain attendance or a certain amount of time they have to volunteer? And every
mm-hmm.
answer is no, absolutely not. Because somebody that may struggle in statistics doesn't mean they can't solve a case. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, most cops will tell you they're not necessarily great at writing. You know,
right.
there's, you know, everybody has a gift. And I'll
right.
tell you, you know, your willingness to come on your own time and devote, you know, as much as you can or as little as you may have the opportunity to do. What I do know is no matter how much time you spend there, your life will be enriched. That I've seen. Because, again,
right.
you're spending an afternoon with somebody like Holly Hughes or Dwayne Thompson or Sean LaGrua. I mean, come on. I mean, that's worth,
yeah.
in my business.
Those are biggies.
Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable.
Well, I think it's remarkable, too, that, you know, I'm going to call it an organization or an institute like yours, and you head this up. You don't get paid. Your volunteers
mm-hmm.
don't get paid. They get nothing. And I, you know, we've all had, we all are connected to Q Center for Missing Persons and Monica Kathan, and it kind of works
yes.
the same way. It's like
sure.
when you can get the right people there at the right time, it's amazing the results that you can get.
It
right?
is amazing. Yes. And, you know, it's just like I tell my own children, what you give, I promise you'll get back. You will, tenfold. There's no question about it. And somebody like Monica, if Monica were to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, I need you too, I would get up and do it because of the kind of person she is.
Right.
And to me, that's what's so critical. When you have people that are saying, hey, and he doesn't like me to tell the story, but I love telling the story because it's just such an awesome story. But there's a man by the name of Guy Watkins. And Guy calls me and says, hey, I want to help out. Now, Guy's got resources like nobody else in this country, and he could have taken on the most famous of our cases if he had wanted to. But he doesn't. He picked the case, Kirsten Davis. Nobody had ever heard of Kirsten. It's a small town in Georgia, and I said, are you sure? I mean, you don't want to work on Boston Strangler or Zodiac? You're going to pick Kirsten Davis? He said, yep, that's the one. And then we contacted a witness that lived about 6 states over, and we didn't have the money at that time, and we were trying to do some fundraising, but we didn't have the money to get our experts there. Well, Guy calls and says, I got a plane. I'll take us up there. Who does that? That's what I'm telling
wow.
you. So that's the kind of phone call you're going, well, all right. But because he wanted to, because he felt it was important enough. And,
yeah.
you know, that case has moved. We have moved light years from where that case was. There's no question. We're not.
And,
well, I think.
Did he say why he picked that obscure case? Why
did he what now?
Did he say why he picked that obscure case?
You know, he's a seasoned detective. In that case, something about it just grabbed him.
It just
and
spoke
he
to
said,
him?
Yeah, it did. And he said, I think I can do the most on this one, which I respect more And see, that's the kind of thing I'm telling you. Holly Hughes don't come to the Institute because she needs national recognition. She don't need any press for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a girl with a gun. She don't need my help. And Guy Watkins, there's literally nothing I can do to increase his expertise and his, you know, success.
Right.
They're doing it honestly because they say, you know what, that mama deserves an answer. That's it.
That's true. That's the ultimate, you know, goal at the end of the race there.
Yep.
Well, I think, too, and with cold cases or missing person cases or, you know, any type of cases like that, sometimes something jumps out at you and it just inspires you to do something, you know. And,
yes.
And it's not always the big headline case. And I know this from experience in some of the missing persons cases that we've looked at over the years, that there's some that just, for some reason, it just hooks onto you and you can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. And who knows where that can take it?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know what I was wondering when you're talking, Mac, is that is it one of your goals to have other people in other areas of the country, like other criminal justice professors or programs, to replicate your institute and what you do, or would you rather have the people expertise come to you? Would it really to replicate?
Oh, sure. What will happen is somebody will call me from Florida State and they'll say, hey, you know, my victimology class would like to sit in on this particular case with you for a year. Absolutely. And then they work independently, and then when they're done with their part of the investigation, they send it to me at the clearinghouse, and everybody mm-hmm. works independently, and that's what's really important, so that nobody is taking up somebody else's opinion of what happened in the case. And then at the end of everybody's investigation, then we line up to see if we all have the same suspect. And if we do, then we know we're onto something. If we don't, we need to go back and find out why don't we.
Mm-hmm.
So the victimology and the suspectology and, you know, the crime analysis, everything should point to the same person. And that's what we try to do. But, yes, if we could have more people, in either way, it's perfect. If they want to join the Institute, that is fantastic. If they want to do their own, that is equally as fantastic. But let's say, for example, they started their own, it might take them a little longer than if they just joined us. But if they call me and say, hey, we want to start our own, but could you tell us a good psychopathologist? Absolutely. Profiler? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can help them if they like our model. If they want to develop their own, here's the way I honestly see it. There's enough families out there that need answers, and there's enough departments that are small enough that do not have cold case units anymore because of budget cuts.
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sake, start it. Absolutely.
Just pull your resources. If you could have one in, like, each major region of the country or something, or start out joining yours. So, is your business model, I mean, do you have, like a big book or a manual on how you develop everything?
Sort of.
Is it like a recipe?
kind of, yes. And again, if anybody wants to contact me, I will give them the outline and the layout as best I can. I will help them in any way possible. And a lot of people have done that. I mean, a lot of people have started their own and have been successful too. So it's all good. You know, college professors have so much knowledge, and the resources that colleges have are just remarkable. And it's a lot of times it's an untapped tool in that community.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think they just think they're there to get the academic training and the credits and go on to, you know, their career. But yet those are the institutions that have more money than police departments and all of those kind of things, right?
Yes.
Mhm. Well, you know, it's just I feel so good about the fact that here it is, 2015, and kind of you're on the precipice of some very important change. For purposes of illustration, for people that maybe didn't get to listen to our first show, shame on them, because I told them to listen, and now they'll have two to listen to. Can you give us one example of a case, maybe you didn't talk about in the first case, it kind of goes, you know, step by step, and then maybe you kind of want to get into what the next 6 months is going to hold for you, and we can kind of get into that.
Okay, sure. One case is Sean Beatty, and we were contacted by Sean's husband, and Sean was murdered in her home, and then her home was set on fire after the murder. And he has done a lot of footwork and a lot of political maneuvering where, you know, he got everything lined up, but he couldn't really do much more. And so when he came to us, we were intrigued by the case because they're actually a family that they work for an underwater dive magazine, even though they live in the middle of Oklahoma. So it was kind of this two worlds that are so different. And so when we got out to Oklahoma, the thing that intrigued me the most was he had not touched the family home since it burned to the ground. So the crime scene photographs that I had already studied, it looked identical. He had not rebuilt, he hadn't cleaned up, nothing. So I was able to walk it, which is very important to me. I'm extremely visual. So boots on the ground is, you know, 100% of what I need to do on every case. And so you get to walk it and you get a feel of it and you know what's just beyond the crime scene. You know what's on each side. You know what's behind you because all of that is relevant. Who could see this house? Who could walk to the house? You know, what is the general community like? And it's just really important. So that was powerful for me. And so we quickly narrowed it down to three suspects. And one of them we thought was the weakest one. And we thought we could probably get rid of him if we could get him on a box. So Linda Wright at Auburn, University of Montgomery, said, look, if we can get him to Alabama, I know a guy that's a former, you know, polygraph expert with the FBI. He'll do it for us. It'll be top-notch between Auburn and Faulkner and the Institute, everybody putting together the best questions. So when I was out there, I met with this particular person, and I said, look, the only way to get you off of the radar is to exclude you, and the only way to do that is to give you a polygraph. And he said, I'll take it, but I'm not going to take it to Oklahoma. And I said, well, I've got a deal for you, because I don't want you to take it to Oklahoma. I want you to take it in Alabama. So he did that, and we were able to exclude him beautifully. And we asked some hard questions. Did you hurt Sean Beatty? Did you kill Sean Beatty? Did you rape Sean Beatty? Have you ever set a fire to a home? Did you set fire to her home? I mean, we didn't
very
pull any punches.
Yeah.
And he took it, and there was absolutely no deception, no hesitation, no dishonesty. So we felt really good on that case. So, again, the students got to be a part of, you know, pinpointing somebody as a suspect, narrowing down that pool by way of a tool that's pretty phenomenal, and then watching that person work. So,
wow.
There you go. That's one.
Yeah, that's, again, I'm just sort of in awe of what gets accomplished. And yeah, but, you know, I wonder, how do you sort of get around the bureaucracies and confidentiality of your record and all of that, especially when you're working with volunteers and students and all of that? Does that become a problem?
No. And here's the remarkable thing. In 10 years, and we've had students come and go and graduate and new students start again, you know, repeatedly from all the different colleges, we have never one time had a student violate the confidentiality, not once. Not even a slip up by saying, oh, I know so-and-so did it. Never. Not one time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and again, you know, people say, well, that you're lucky. I don't think we're lucky. I think if you could sit in a room and watch these students, and I'll tell you when it starts. It starts when they sit in a room with that mama or that daddy or that brother or that husband or that wife, and they're telling the story of when they lost this family member. Those students wouldn't violate that trust. They wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a game. This is not some little class.
Right.
This is real life. This is a real case. This is a real family. This was a real person. And Dwayne Thompson says it, he says it so just profoundly. In the Institute, we have case files. All the murder books are in boxes. And so they've got the names on the outside of the box. And he's like, let me tell you something. There ain't a box sitting over there. That's somebody's life. That's a person.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in it matters. So the level of respect that they have for the families and the victims is paramount. And that's why I tell them, I don't care if you become a police officer or not. I don't care if you go into probation or parole. If you don't even stay in criminal justice, you will be a better juror for it. You'll be a better human being for it. So
mm-hmm.
they get it, and they get it on a level they would not be able to get it any other way.
Yeah. Is that how you begin the process with new students? You have the victims' families come in and tell their story right off the bat,
yes.
And that's how
right
you,
off
you
the
get
bat.
Them. You
yes,
get them.
If we can,
yeah.
if at all possible. And the reason is that's what you're going to have in a case. You're going to have the parents, the families, somebody right off the bat. Talking and telling the story and being emotional. And you've got to start with that. You've got to understand the importance. The first thing they do as a tool, though, is they do their own timeline.
Okay.
And so they start putting paper on the wall immediately, and let's chart this thing out. And, you know, pre-behavior, post-behavior, what happened before the crime, what happened after the crime, all that's really, you know, it's so crucial.
Right, and then they fill it in as you,
yeah.
as you go along.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
where are the gaps? Where are the times
mm-hmm.
that we can't account for? Why can't we account for it? You know, so, you know, again, and the great thing is we all have kind of a different way that we work in the real world. I start with photographs. Leslie Bailey starts with witness statements. Betsy Ramsey starts with a police report. And we all have our own different reason for doing that. I personally, like, again, I'm visual, so I'm going to start with the pictures. And I also feel like that's the most truth in a case because witnesses lie. And we saw that in Ferguson. They lie, okay? And they may not be lying necessarily to deceive anybody. They may really think they're telling the truth, but they've added something or they've taken something away. For example, you work with victims all the time. You know, sometimes they may say, oh, no, I was headed to the store to get diapers. Well, they were really headed to get liquor, but they just changed it a little. They're still a true victim, but they've changed something. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So all I just want the pictures. Whereas, again, Betsy's
going to
start
with
the police. Right. Well, again, they haven't solved it yet, so I don't want to hear their opinion yet. I want to wait until I have an opinion and then see if we're on the same wavelength or not.
Yeah.
So the students
well,
have to figure that out for themselves. How do they like to work? And they need to start there.
Mhm. Well, like I say, it's the classroom of life is what you're talking about.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
It really, really is. Well, you know, we've just hit our 30-minute mark already.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. With respect to this year and you've done amazing things. I don't know. I'm trying to picture in my head, you know, you're in the middle of, you know, these fascinating cases, and then do you have another contingent of people that go and do the fundraising so you can get money to do the next thing on this, or do you kind of put this on hold and then do the fundraising and then go back to it? Because it's got to be awful when you're always thinking about, you know, I got to have money to fly somebody here to do this or to do that. How does that all get coordinated?
We kind of all pull together and do it. And last year is the first
uh-huh.
time we ever have done any fundraising at all, because I realized that we're getting to a level now that I need to get certain experts places. And
right.
So what we did was we invented this thing called Wine and Crime, where we have a location and the general public buys a ticket, and for that ticket, they basically get to be a part of our classroom for the day. So we run down a case for them. We show them as much as we can evidentiary. and then they work it until about midnight, and they bring their own picnic basket and their own bottle of wine, and they just sit, and we have all the experts that are available that night to come, so they get access to a detective and a prosecutor and a, you know, clairvoyant, and they work it just like they would. They throw out theories. They tell us what that we think, you know, could possibly be helpful, and they dig it. So that's the way we raised money last year for the first time.
And you charge a certain amount per person that attends? Is that what you're saying?
Right. So the first time we did it, it was $10 a ticket. And then everybody told me that was too low, that was crazy, we need to bump it up. And I said, well, I was trying to get a certain amount of money because I just wanted to fly somebody somewhere. And then the second time we did it, I just needed a certain amount of I just needed a certain amount of money because I was trying to get a bus because all the students needed to go to a crime scene. So that's where I was. In my head, I was trying to get a certain amount. And so I'm learning. I'm learning the fundraising,
trying to
get a big pool of money and then have it when you need it. So, you know, it's a learning thing for me, too, because that was my area, you know.
Yeah.
So we're getting there.
You're going to continue that as your main fundraising thrust?
Well, we think so, but we're not real sure. But we do have some people that that is kind of their area, and they said they would kind of help us out to figure out the best thing to do to capitalize on making the most money. Because, again, what's going to be happening this summer is going to take a lot of money. And hopefully in the next 6 months we'll be able to generate that and not miss a beat.
Well, you know, when you have these events, be sure to pass them on to us. We'll advertise them for you.
Okay.
We'll put them on social media or whatever. But that is a very interesting and unique type of fundraiser. And I mean, definitely, I would definitely go if I was there.
And we've had other people say they would like us to host one in their state. So if anybody wants four or five of us to come, especially if it's a driving distance, I know we can make that happen. So let me know.
Yeah. Well, why don't you, because we talked about a couple things that, you know, you've offered, whether it be replication of your program or helping you or the fundraising, give us some contact information where people can contact you about any of these things, because I don't want to run out of time at the
end. Okay, sure. The fastest way to do it is if you just want to send me a message on Facebook, it's Cheryl McCollum. It's Sherylmccollum. And my cell phone number is right there, and my email is CherylMack@msn.com. Cheryl Mack. So let me know. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, that sounds very good. You know, we try to help one another, and I think this is just a wonderful endeavor, and you got to keep going because it's too good. Why don't you, I don't know if this is the right time to reveal, but can you start telling us about how you formulated an idea for this really cutting-edge thing that you're going to be doing in the next few months? What occurred prior to you formulating this idea to kind of, you know, maybe take your skills on the road, so to speak?
Well, what happened was, again, I'm extremely visual, and I've got several cases where I have not been able to walk the scene and, you know, kind of reexamine it myself. So I thought, man, I would like to make that happen and maybe even take some experts and students along the way. And then that kind of morphed into, hey, you know what we could do is we could go to some of these sites and actually teach class from there. So here's what we decided we're doing. This summer, the entire month of July, we're going from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and we're going to hit all the states on the lower half, and then we're going to come back to the states on the upper half, and we're going to go to every college and every crime scene of every case that we have worked and worked with the past 10 years. So you'll hear the names of Kirsten Davis again, and Zodiac, and Susan Powell. We're going to do them all. So we're going to start, you know, in Alabama with Natalie Holloway, and then we'll move to Mississippi with Emmett Till, and we're just going to keep moving, and we're just going to keep moving, and we're going to meet experts at each place, and the experts will actually help me teach class, and we'll have our own YouTube channel, so you can all come and watch and hopefully learn a ton along the way. about how we work and what could be done and maybe what we could go back and do. And as we're working it, there'll be ways where people can interact and say, hey, why don't you do A, B, C, and D? And then we'll turn everything over to the authorities when we're doing our thing. But everybody can be a part of it. So
it
no matter
so
where
exciting.
The students are, yes,
and
I'm telling you.
Interactive.
It's interactive.
Being on
yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be interactive. You'll know where we're going to be before we get there. And
yeah.
we'll have, like, case briefings that you can read up on before we get there, so we're not taking a lot of time building up the case. And
mm-hmm.
then, once you know, people may already have some knowledge, and we're hoping that, too. And the other thing we'll have is a way for people to, you know, if they were a witness or a friend or an ex-girlfriend, anybody that might have some information can leave that as well, confidential.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put any information out. And hopefully this will not only generate information on some of these cases, but it will also
wow.
be a way, this classroom, no matter where you may be. And see, we've got even alumni that right now are, you know, in the Navy or in the Air Force. They're all over the world. They can still participate. They can go on and watch it and add to it and do their thing.
Wow,
that's
wow.
amazing. It's, like, totally interactive. Like you don't know where the clue is going to come from, the key that's going to unlock
right.
the door. Oh,
amen.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah. But have you thought of like a title for this? This is like the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute Road Tour or whatever it is. You know? I mean,
I have not thought of a title yet, but that you know we need to do that. I dig
and,
that.
And to promote it, and I think I know somebody would be very good. But anyway,
yes.
that's another conversation.
We need to promote. And, you know, the thing is, like, I've only got one person saying that she's trying to raise $1 a mile. But anything like that, if somebody says, hey, you know, for a birthday gift, I want to, you know, have somebody look at Zodiac or I want to have somebody look at Chandra Levy. You know, not look
mm-hmm.
at it, but, you know, we go there and teach about what we did. You know, we're just going to have to work all that out. But, I mean, I'm hoping, again, that this is not only going to be just a wide-open classroom, but it's going to be a way for even the detectives to have
right.
you know, 5 or 6 nationally known experts just to talk through a case. Because a lot of times
mm-hmm.
if you're just talking and talking and talking, something will generate an idea to go, wait a minute.
Something comes.
Yeah.
Right. And
absolutely.
It would be really good if you could get some kind of national sponsors like, you know, Greyhound or one of the airlines or something to help.
Sure.
You know, because that really makes the difference if you have a couple of national sponsors or big sponsors that would help foot the cost for your travels. I mean, really.
Sure. Sure.
You know, but it's wonderful. I'm so thrilled that you chose to share this here, and you have my commitment right now that I will do everything that I can to help you, in my meager way. But you know. Maybe I can't help, and we will. Because
no, absolutely. It's not meager.
You know?
Seriously,
no.
It's not meager. Anybody that knows and can, you know, participate, there
mm-hmm.
are power in numbers. You know that. And if there's, you know, 500 of us that are going to try to put this thing together, but, you
yep.
know, 10,000 that can participate somehow, I'm telling
right.
you, that's when this thing really comes off. You know,
it certainly
takes on a life.
It does, and you know, I think Susan would be looking down, smiling if she was here listening, because she would say, "Go for it, Cheryl."
Oh, honey, I think Susan would be in the truck, don't you?
That's what I was going to
yeah.
say. She'd be driving the bus.
Oh yeah, I think she would roll up at Chandra Turner, blowing the horn and hollering out the window.
You bet.
That's one place we're headed. We're headed to Oklahoma to work for Chandra Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got
I'm so
some
happy
ideas.
To hear that.
Yeah.
So happy to hear that case is getting it because, I mean, the Turners are just such wonderful people. I've gotten to know them over the years, and they're just wonderful people. And
yes.
as all the families are. I mean, you can't, but I know them better than most.
No, absolutely.
Right.
It's like we're headed to New Mexico to work on the Caitlin Arquette case. 3 days ago, I spent some time with her mom in South Florida. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, you're just in her home and you're seeing family photographs and you're like, seriously, I mean, you just got to get up and go to work. I mean, that's all there is to it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be telling people how to get some of the books that the students will be reading, because, again, they have to read everything they can get their hands on so they understand it the most. But Caitlin Arquette's mother, Lois Duncan, has written two books on her murder. And they're extraordinary, and I've already had several experts call me
mm-hmm.
because as soon as I posted it, they were like, hey, we've already read it. We're done. We're ready. So they've already got their witness list going. And,
yeah.
again, this is what students and experts are doing over Christmas break. So even though the colleges aren't, you know, meeting right now, the work has not stopped. And, again,
right.
I mean, I can't do anything but brag on them. And, I mean, I can give you example after example. Well, I'll give you one. Before break, over Thanksgiving, we had a week off, so we thought this is a great time to do one of our, you know, on-scene re-exams. And so
mm-hmm.
we did an underwater search for a weapon. And Dwayne Thompson gets out there in that water, and that water's freezing. And
yeah.
he's working it, and, I mean, the wind's blowing, and it's cold, and it's a swamp. So, of course, he's got his .45 hanging out of his flickers, you know. And the students were like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is crazy. We're all out here in this rain and this freezing swamp looking for this gun. Well, there was a student there who had just finished his 7th chemo treatment. Now, really? I know
really?
People, if they get a headache, won't leave the house.
Yeah.
But this child is literally fighting for his life, but that's
mm-hmm.
where he wanted to be, searching for a weapon for Kirsten Davis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Truly so inspiring. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did they find the weapon after all that?
Well, let me tell you what happened. This is really cool. We got all the underwater, you know, stuff working. And Dwayne had set it, of course, so it only, you know, it's not going to hit on aluminum, you know, or, I mean, or brass or anything. So when it hit, we did get a hit. And we got a hit exactly the point where we threw a stick, where we thought if the weapon was thrown in the water, and it was about 17 inches long from end to end when it started and stopped, the beeping. And so that's about the length of the barrel we're looking for. So we all get real excited, right? Like, let's start digging this thing up. Well, of course, it's underwater, and it's 6 feet under the ground.
Ugh.
So we have to wait for the creek to run dry, and then we're going to go out there and see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you still have to wait in order for conditions to be right to go in.
Yeah,
and go
it
down.
Was about 5 feet of water, and then it was 6 feet past that. So,
oh, wow.
You know, we'll see. But again, what better training could there possibly be for students?
Well, no.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I mean, what
hands-on.
You offer them is so hands-on. And I mean,
yeah.
how, where
right.
else can
yeah.
they get something like that there, from
you know,
someone like you
mother,
and all the other experts?
And, you know, for her mom, over Thanksgiving, to know, you know what, in the freezing cold, down in a swamp in South
mm-hmm.
Georgia, you know, 32 people are standing out there because they care. Everybody
mm-hmm.
delayed their Thanksgiving plans. They weren't with their, you know, own families yet. And, again, that's what's so remarkable.
Mm-hmm. And they gave back, and they gave thanks. You know, that was their giving time, and, you know, that is wonderful. Did you, I think you might have shared this off the air. Now, with just logistically, so that people can visualize this, you said this is going to be in July, and
yes.
or did you say 33 consecutive days? Is that what you said?
Correct. And some of those days we'll be traveling, obviously, but we'll head from Georgia to Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and we'll keep going up through Oklahoma. We're going to keep going all the way to Los Angeles, and then we'll go up through San Francisco, up through Oregon, then we're going to come back, you know, Idaho, Wyoming, Kansas. So again, if there are families in Kansas or Idaho, Nebraska, Wyoming that have a case, and they would like
mm-hmm.
us to stop even for a few hours and see if we can even generate media attention,
mm-hmm.
we'll be happy to do that. And if they can get me some information beforehand, if there's something we feel like we can do, then we'll do
yep.
that and then get out there and handle it.
Wow, that's
you know,
crazy.
You, I'm going
to
say this.
You talked to Monica.
You really.
It's so similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, you already said it.
I'm sorry.
you need to do one of those 3 a.m. phone calls. Monica, you know, there's so many cases that she's worked as well, and
kind of,
you know, similar things. I'm sure the two of you could definitely trade secrets.
Yeah,
oh, I'm hurting.
I think you could help each other. She could help you with the logistics of planning something like this. I mean, I think you've got a very good start, and you've got a good, you know, but it's probably mostly in your head right now, right? Versus on paper.
Yeah. Well,
right?
you two know how I work. It's mostly in my head until, you know, somebody in the institute forces me to write everything out. But the teaching, what I'm looking forward to is the teaching live from the
mm-hmm.
actual crime scene. So, you know what I mean? Like standing and taking the route that Zodiac took and explaining exactly.
Right.
That's the thing that is fascinating to me. You know, not just as a criminologist and a college professor, but, you know, somebody that's been around this business my entire adult life, I think it's going to be something that I will cherish, honestly.
Oh, yeah, and it's a wonderful record. So you're going to have some kind of IT person traveling with you at each point, so you know that, you know, nothing's going to happen with regard to the transmission, you know, of what you're doing. And, you know,
yes.
you got to have your IT expert with you all the time.
Well, we
yes.
know Cheryl's
we,
not going to do it.
Amen. You know that, amen. Absolutely.
And she's not gonna write blogs either.
No, that is not my thing. But I've already got some people that are willing to take that on. And
uh-huh.
of course,
good.
My son is laughing, going, you know I'm the IT person. You know, you know anybody 14.
Oh, I'm sure the kids are going, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's
all the time taking my phone and helping me figure something out. So, you know, we're going to have a great time, and we've got a lot of experts that have already signed up that are going to meet us places, and a lot of the detectives and private investigators and psychics, everybody's in. So it's going to be a tremendous summer.
Right. Well, just thinking out loud, I mean, maybe if you combine all of these great aspects into some type of an e-brochure or something that you can disseminate, then maybe, you know, that would also get the word out, too, so that someone could look at it and say, hey, this is going to be a really cool thing. Let's participate or let's volunteer. You know,
yes,
I think,
absolutely.
I think it's about promotion.
Yes.
It really is.
So the cold case cruising, you know, we'll be headed across. And again, if there's a spot that once I get the map out, I will get it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something you want to do live, let me know. Because
yeah.
we'll pick a night and we'll do it live from wherever that date is.
Okay. All right.
I think
that
would be fabulous. That would
yeah.
be great. I mean,
yeah.
not just for radio shows, but the fact that, you know, you have the opportunity to be able to get the information out there firsthand,
right.
you know, to all of our listeners and other listeners, too. And it's recorded. It's there forever.
Right.
right.
You have those experts there and everything. That would be great. And, you know, maybe also because, I mean, you're going to hit the ground running, so to speak, on, you know, I don't know, before July 4th or July 1st. But if we can kind of ease into it and maybe give people a preview with some of the experts before July, that would kind of warm people up, you know, and would kind of give us some other guests to kind of make a nice entrance for this whole program for you.
Well, we can consider that done. No problem.
Okay.
See,
well, yes.
It's easy, right?
Oh, it's a piece of cake. How hard can it be?
It is.
Exactly. Yeah.
How hard can 27 cases and 5,000 miles be? Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds awesome to me. So.
I know. See, Donna would be spending the next 2 years planning
that. Yeah. We're kind of seat of our pants detectives, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh,
take
I know.
You know, I'm the youngest of five children. I planned very little in my life. It just kind of came at me. So
I learned that. I learned that the hard way from trying to plan my Q Center road stuff, and it just kind of all fell apart until a certain point, and I just had to kind of go with the flow. So I know that now.
Oh yeah. I'm a go-with-the-flow person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it all comes together.
No question.
You can't, so much you can't control, like just like these cases. You can't control what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. You know
right.
it's going to happen, but
right.
now, it just happens.
Mac, do you have certain criteria with respect to if anybody comes to you, like being able to say, yes, we'll definitely take this, or no, we're sorry, we can't look at this? I mean, do you already sort of have that? Is that your modus operandi when people approach you? If these four or five conditions are right, yes, we'll look at it, or if they're not, no, we have to turn it down. I mean, can you share some of that?
Yeah, I don't really have criteria where we turn anything down. It does need to be a cold case, so it needs to be, everything needs to be exhausted. So it usually is, the case is at least 3 years unsolved, and they've hit some roadblock for some reason. And a lot of times, honestly, it's not, and I want to be very clear, it is not law enforcement hasn't done everything. Sometimes it's just they can't do any more because they're at a impasse. So sometimes there's things civilians can do that
nice
the police
at it too.
Can't do. Right. And so we can take that on and, you know, kind of do it that way. So if they will just contact me, if it's something extremely unique or they have an idea that is outside the box, or they think we might have a way of thinking of something that is unusual. Again,
mm-hmm.
we've done comic books. We've, you know, done things that are very unique that we like that kind of thing. So nothing is too outside.
It's too bizarre for you.
All
yeah.
right.
Well, that's good. That it means, like, you know, we'll consider almost anything, which is wonderful, because these families are the ones that really need the creativity. You know, instead of just your kind of stale old protocol and you're kind of stalled, right?
Right.
You know. Well, I think that I just predict that you're going to have more than you can handle, and you're going to have to schedule another one.
Well, that would be great, and that's what I'm hoping for, and that's why I'm saying, if there's anybody in some of the flyover states, as they say, you know, please contact me, because we've got some free time there, I know for a fact. In the Dakotas, I mean, just call me.
Okay. So give us those geographic locations again, where you have some gaps or some free time in the Dakotas.
Idaho, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Kansas.
Wyoming, North and South Dakota, and Kansas.
And what
okay.
I'll do is I will get the map to you, and you can
mm-hmm.
publish that and say, hey, even if she's already got a case there, it's not like I'm not open to doing anything I can for somebody while I'm there.
Okay.
Okay?
Well,
that would be perfect. Get
yeah.
the map out now. As soon as you have it ready, just get it to
yeah.
me, and we'll get it out there.
I
yeah,
can work on
can
that for you
out.
Tomorrow.
okay.
I'm kind of in the middle of the ocean right this minute. So,
okay.
Yeah, literally. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to stay in contact. But so far, it's perfect. But my family's out here. We're all fishing and enjoying the sunset. So,
Well, that's wonderful. We got a little coating of frosting of snow here in Connecticut. So.
Yeah, bless
that's
your heart. You know, I've got a sister there, so
do you?
She's been keeping me updated with that. She lives in Niantic, so
I know
about that weather.
Yeah, you do. Well, you know, with we have about 5 minutes remaining to our show. I'm going to let you just kind of extemporaneously talk about whatever you would like, whether it's this program, you know, that you've conceived that you want to do, if there's a particular message you want to send to people in view of what you've told us, if you want to make a plea for more funds, whatever it is you want to do, go for it.
Well, I'll tell you exactly. I think you've already done it, and it's not the money, and it's not the fame or any of that
but
kind of stuff.
But it takes money, though.
It does take money, but with the last few minutes, honestly, I think what it's the most important thing is for people to know it takes all of us. So here's the deal. There's enough people with enough resources. I don't even need any money. There are people that could call and say, hey, I've got an RV, or hey, I've got a campsite, mm-hmm. or hey, you can stay at the house. I promise right. you, this will get done without me having to do a lot, because I know what these folks are capable of. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I have yeah. never in 10 years, and people do not believe me until I start telling the stories, I've mm-hmm. never had to ask for anything. I didn't ask nobody for an airplane. Are you kidding me? That wouldn't have even dawned on me. But it happens. People call and they offer.
Well, that you know what I mean? Something about you, my dear.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I mean, really.
You know, believe what you want to believe, but I'm telling you, good things come. They just do. And, you know, yeah. people say, well, oh, this is so horrible that one person was murdered. Yes, one person was murdered. But I've got 2,000 people that care about what happened and are trying to do something about it. I like
yeah.
those
and
numbers. It's
power
remarkable. Right. I'm telling you, it is one of the most incredible things I've ever witnessed in my entire life, and it's been one of the most rewarding, without question. Without
yeah.
question. So
well,
I appreciate y'all's time, and I'm going to keep y'all updated, and I'm going to get y'all that map, and
all
we're
right.
going to have a great summer. That's all
yeah,
I can tell
well,
you.
You just convinced me. I think I'm going to go back. I'm going to have to write something about this show, because it's too awesome just to leave it to the audio. I have to put pen to paper with this one, I think.
Awesome. Awesome.
So,
I just feel it. I think some good things are going to happen. I really do. And I think people
yeah.
are going to, you know, step up and, you know,
oh,
say,
definitely.
Hey, guess what we can do? Guess what we've got? Like, I'll give you an example. I already have a friend that said maybe we can get even Chick-fil-A to give the students something to eat in this state and that state. Well, I mean, come
of course.
On. That's gold
yeah.
for them. Well, again, they don't need money. You know, they just need
right.
a way to get to the next spot. So
have
it's all
one of
good.
Those corporations, you know, what's wrong with McDonald's or any of those?
Yeah.
They're so rich. I mean
all we're
going to
do, we're just going to ask. You know what I mean? And if they say
that's
no,
right.
we ain't lost nothing. We ain't got it now. So
right.
it's all good.
Right.
I mean, like my son was so funny the other day. He's like, Mom, I like peanut butter. I mean, yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. We'll just have a picnic. It's all good. You know,
mm-hmm.
we'll make it. Somehow.
Yes.
So I appreciate
yeah, well,
y'all so much, and this is just a great start.
Well,
you got
it. It is, and it's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of your success. I can really feel it.
And Delilah, there's going to be lots of stuff we can do
yeah.
media-wise, too, and I'll keep you updated on all that.
All
yeah,
right.
Just keep
well,
it coming, and we'll work together on it. No problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, y'all. Thank you so
right.
much.
Enjoy
well,
the sunset.
Okay.
We'll, talk soon.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch, and I'll send you my blog, okay?
She's
right.
in the water.
She's in the water. Well, with that, Delilah, we have about 1 minute, 16 seconds. What would you like to say?
You put me on the spot like that? How dare you? Well, I just, you know, I'm totally worked up about this. I think it's just an absolutely fabulous opportunity for so many people across the country. And I think, you know, I'm hoping that we will have Cheryl and Holly both back to the conference in Wilmington for Q Center
oh,
this March.
Great.
And,
yeah.
you know, I'm really hoping that, and I think it will happen, that Cheryl and Monica can get together and do some planning
yeah.
and partnering. And, you know, who knows? I mean, these cases that both of them work on are a lot of them so old, and the clues are there. They're somewhere. Somebody
right.
holds the key to getting them solved. And it's
mm-hmm.
just going to take somebody coming out of the woodwork and get it done. And
that's right.
Totally
many great
minds.
I think this is wonderful. So I just really think, you know, she needs a lot of help on the front end, because once it gets started, then it takes on a good life of its own. So we're very proud to have be able to introduce another first. So with that, I think we're going to wind up our hour. And
all
thank
right.
you so much. And we will see everyone next Saturday. We have a very interesting show then.
And so we'll say good night to everyone, and I'll talk to you off the air. Have a good night, everyone.